Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We got a great show today for you, addressing this season, this time of year, which hits us all, especially in the northern climates, talking about SAD, or seasonal affective disorder. So hold on to your seats, and we got a great guest today. You are listening to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry, which I apparently am, on KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial, if you happen to be in Fairfield. But these shows are archived again. Go to www.ardentcenter.com, and you could go under the media tab, and you will see them linked there, and get out to all the YouTube channels. And also, most of them are going to be archived at KRUUFM.com. All right, so seasonal affective disorder. All right, our famous guest is a nationally known, all right, at least locally known, reporter, the famous Nicole Hester Williams. Nicole, hi.
Hi, Scott.
Welcome.
Thank you.
All right, so tell us about what we're talking about. So you just, we actually just did a story for the newspaper regarding seasonal affective disorder. You're going to go over what you just wrote.
Yes, absolutely.
So tell us about yourself.
Oh, tell you about myself. Well, again, my name is Nicole Hester Williams, and I do live in Fairfield, Iowa. I work for the Fairfield Ledger as a reporter. So I get to cover a lot of different topics. So it's really neat because a couple times a year we do get to cover, we have a health tab. And so this year we covered SAD. I mean, it's right around that season for seasonal affective disorder. And I thought that it would be really interesting to cover something that a lot of us face. Even though it seems to be small percentages, you know, like 6% of the population will have SAD in its worst effect.
That's a huge number.
That's a huge number. And for those of us who have experienced at least some of it, even in the milder form, it's big to us.
Okay. And it's also bigger to you in a sense because you're coming from the South.
Absolutely.
And so in a sense, you're acclimated to having more sun.
Yes.
And so you're not having the effects in this northern climate are really hitting you more dramatically.
Oh my gosh.
And people don't get that.
Yes.
That it really is about the sun.
Yes.
And I'm going to cite it. We got all kinds of studies to cite it. We got so much to go through today. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you. We've actually
done a number of stories, though.
Yes.
I through the Ledger, I've done other stories with other people.
Definitely.
But I love doing stories with you because you're really wanting to make a difference.
Yes, I do.
It's not just being a reporter. I'm a reporter who has a heart, who's here to make a difference.
Yes.
And so I always appreciate you and the great work that you do.
Thank you. I really encourage
people, if they haven't read Nicole, to read Nicole, because you could feel her heart coming through on every line.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
All right. So, Nicole, tell us what SAD is.
Well, SAD is seasonal affective disorder. And for some people, it can be quite sad. Let me kind of explain some of the things that can happen with SAD. Depression, fatigue, moodiness, brain fog, crying, just a feeling of, I don't want to get out of the bed this morning. But people typically press their way through. And it's not that you're just being lazy or that you're just having a bad day. Sometimes that bad day can translate into a bad month or a bad 2 or 3 months, as long as that sun's not shining as much as it usually should be.
So it's essentially like depression, except it only comes when you've had a lack of sun.
Yes.
So it's not like regular depression or major depression or dysthymia, which is mild depression or pervasive depressive disorder. We're really talking about depression that kind of hits simply biologically.
Yes.
And again, we don't have to be emotional or judge ourselves or beat ourselves up because we're having a biological thing. Do you beat yourself up because you've got, you know,
the chicken pox or
whatever it is, right? You know, it's like, you know, you might say, oh, I was stupid for going outside and shaking somebody's hand who had a flu. But, you know, it's like, seriously, it's just simply biology.
Right.
And what's important is not how we got it, but what do we do with it? Just like with every condition.
Right.
The question isn't how did we get here? right? We know how we got here pretty much. Well, in this case, we're in cold. Yeah. We're not getting enough sun. So the important thing is, what do we do about it?
Right.
So tell us more.
Well, I really enjoyed my interview with you because it actually made me think about myself. And if it's okay, I'd like to just share a little bit of my own experience. I'm from Florida, as many people that know me here know that, you know, I'm a Florida girl. So I'm used to a whole lot of sun.
And you mean it doesn't snow in Florida?
No.
Not yet.
Well, you know, it snowed in Jacksonville once whenever I was about 12 years old. and we'll say that that was a long time ago for me.
Okay. So we'll just say it was a couple years ago.
It was a couple years ago.
Okay.
But so whenever I got here, one of the biggest things that I noticed was that the sun does shine a whole lot less. I actually Googled it to just see how much less does the sun shine here.
Really?
It does. Not a whole, you know, I think it was, you know, small percentages, maybe like 10% less, but it wasn't, please don't quote me on that, people.
Okay.
But it wasn't a whole lot less, but for me, it was kind of an insurmountable amount because I was very used to the sun. So that very first year here was kind of tough. I remember just sitting at my desk and going, oh my gosh, it seems like it's dark every day. I mean, I guess it was around January or February. Mm. And last year I was even telling my editor, I had to get a heater by my desk. And I was just like, I just can't seem to like pump my stories out. And he's probably laughing at this now going, Nicole, you never can seem to pump your But like, during this time, it was like my brain was frozen. I couldn't move as fast as I wanted to. I remember my spirit was willing, but my flesh was very, very weak. I just couldn't do it.
The brain fog.
Yeah, it was brain fog. Yeah. But as the months got warmer, I started getting back into shape.
Interesting.
And feeling better.
Yeah.
I took a trip back to Florida in March, and one of the things I really noticed is that my eyes hurt a little bit. Because it was just so bright outside.
Mm.
And I don't know if that's something that everybody experiences. It was just a little something that I experienced and got shades and everything. So I think that it definitely, people coming from warmer climates and coming into this, if they've ever had the winter blues or ever had, oh man, it's a rainy day and I just feel like I just want to stay cooped up in the house and have some soup. I used to feel that way. And I remember feeling that way in Florida or in other places that I've lived where the sun shines quite a bit. If it was a gloomy day.
Oh, I see.
I'd be like, oh, it's a gloomy day. And I'd feel kind of
sad.
So
it really affected you even there.
Even there. And what's important to note is that people who do have some of these little feelings in other places in warmer climates, whenever they do move to a climate where it is colder to a northern climate, they will experience that to a greater degree. And so I feel like that's kind of what I was experiencing. Now, I didn't feel suicidal as some people can feel, but I did have feelings of a slight depression. I did have those feelings.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you'd feel that if you were in Seattle.
Right.
Or Portland, which I love, one of my favorite cities.
Wow.
Part of this is it's not that there's so little less sun here.
Mm-hmm.
It's also that you're not getting out in the sun.
Right. Because it's colder. And whenever you're not used to it being so cold, you don't go out as much as you would
Recommendations is just to put on the coat and
get outside. Yeah.
And get some sun.
Yes.
Real sun. And sit there for a few minutes and go for a vigorous walk. The vigorous walk also, the exercise also helps with the depression and the feelings that you're having. So one is, you know, get in the sun, but also get some exercise.
Right.
And so that combination is incredibly effective.
Wow.
So some of this is really simple of how to address it. What happens is we go into this hole and we keep going deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yes.
And, you know, just a quick thing in terms of like what to do. So, for example, here's an article talking about second generation antidepressants for preventing seasonal affective disorder in adults. And it says that it can be somewhat effective to take an antidepressant.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, then the conclusion of the article is that bupropion XL is an effective intervention for the reoccurrence of SAD, But even in high-risk population, 4 to 5 patients won't benefit from it. Wow. So it's sort of like, okay, it's an effective intervention that actually does nothing for most people. So you're always better off doing the cheaper, simpler, cleaner alternative, mm-hmm. in this case, to actually get out, get some sun, get some exercise. So, you know, enjoy, you know, get what's going on. Like with any condition, be honest with yourself. Oh, I'm falling into this hole.
Right.
I've got to do something about my hole. Don't just take a magic pill and hope that it gets better.
Right.
Do something. And the fact that you're actually doing something, to finish this part, and then I want to hear more from you,
just
the fact that you're actually getting out, getting in the sun, getting some exercise, will make you feel better. But the second part is you getting out, you taking control, I'm taking my control, my power back to me again.
Right.
Is also incredibly effective.
Right.
Because just getting that you're the one who gets to choose what's happening to you in this life.
Wow.
Also changes the dynamic in the brain, your mood.
Absolutely.
And the brain chemistry, and then starts that cycle going in a positive way.
Wow.
So it's not just the exercise in the sun, it's also getting the choice, which really matters.
Wow.
Okay. Anyways, go back. So tell me more.
Well, Scott, first of all, I'd like to say I really appreciated interviewing you the other day, because that's what you were sharing with me to be able to share with the readers, is that you do have a lot of control as to what's going to happen to you, as to how sad is actually going to make you.
Yeah, yeah.
And that exercise, that getting that sunlight, that natural sunlight into your eyes. You even mentioned that, getting that sunlight into your eyes.
Yeah.
That's really important, and it's a very easy fix. I did have some notes here. Dr. Norman Rosenthal, he came up with SAD. He actually was the one who coined the term SAD. Dr. Norman Rosenthal, 6% of the U.S. population, primarily in northern climates, is affected by SAD in its most marked form, which would include those suicidal thoughts and deep depression. Another 14% of adults in the U.S. population suffers from a lesser form of seasonal mood changes known as the winter blues. And I'd say that that's what I had, was the winter blues. Of course, and here's another thing that I thought was really important that you mentioned too, Scott, during our last interview. You mentioned that if someone's having some of these symptoms, especially the serious symptoms, that they should seek help, because it's not just a matter of willpower or I want to get out of bed, but I just can't seem to make myself get out of bed. You mentioned that it's more than just about willpower, that it's actually something going on chemically in one's brain. And so I thought that that was really, really interesting. Of course, seasonality affects people all over the world. The prevalence of SAD in Oslo, Norway was reported at 14%, in contrast to the 4.7% in New York City. In fact, someone may have winter blues while living in southern climates, and this is something that I mentioned about myself, and then they convert to full-blown SAD if they move to northern climates, and that was something that I definitely mentioned. Some of those things, again, we mentioned just this feeling of sluggishness, I don't want to get out of bed, and sometimes people can't get out of bed. They can't move. It's almost like they're frozen. I did talk to someone who said that they cry during the month of February, the entire month of February. I'd say that that's definitely a symptom of SAD. What do you think?
Absolutely. And so, you know, it's a really interesting thing to think about. You know, here's another article from Medscape. Mm-hmm. The best metaphor for seasonal affective disorder is hibernation, which is being thought of as...
Wow.
You know, it's like, it's so people with SAD aren't actually sad, so to speak. Mainly, they just feel less interested in things. Unlike people with classic depression, which is the thing to really watch, who typically eat less and sleep less, people with SAD eat more and sleep more, much like animals hibernating in winter, which you know, if we think about it, remember, we are animals.
Right.
I'm sorry to tell everybody this little biological
newsflash.
Fact. Newsflash. You are an animal.
Right.
You might have an animal with consciousness that's of a higher degree than your pet. Mm-hmm. But with some people, maybe not. All right. We won't get into that.
Another radio show.
We're on a radio show. I've seen some intelligent dogs and some people that, Many patients with SAD do not realize they have depression because they're not depressed with their regular mood. They don't feel sad. Nevertheless, they have this thing where the increased need for sleep and appetite, thus meeting critical depression. All right. So it's really kind of fascinating to kind of play with what is it. And another little tidbit, to prevent winter depression, you know, also check summer mania. Hypomania must not be ignored. Any manic symptoms in summer can lead to depression in the winter. So there's lots of little ways to think about this kind of condition. And it really is true. For those in southern Florida or Mexico, SAD is 2.8%.
Kind of small,
So latitude is north 25 degrees, or winter blues is 7.5%.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're in, like, Canada, northern Canada, SAD could be 7.2%, and the winter blues, check this statistic, 20.2%.
Wow.
If you're north 45 degrees latitude. So we're talking about the hypothalamus really getting slammed here.
Yeah.
And it's really fascinating how the optic nerve really leads to, you know, different issues. We could talk about the pituitary gland and all kinds of stuff, but we won't go there. But it really is kind of like interesting to see. You know, we're really talking
kind of shocking,
the hormonal cycle.
Yeah.
You know, adrenal and thyroid hormones are all affected. And for somebody like me who's got a thyroid condition, it could also, you know, one thing goes into another. Again, always watch those vicious cycles. By the way, you're listening to KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial, Mental Health Matters. And today we're talking about SAD or seasonal affective disorder with Nicole Hester Williams, a reporter here in town. And we're just going through all kinds of things. But looking through the circadian rhythms are really essential. And really looking at how do I get more sun? And sometimes we can't get enough sun. And so we need high intensity, full spectrum lights.
How does that work, though?
It mimics the sun.
Okay.
And there's studies about which is better, which is worse. And the studies don't seem incredibly conclusive. So I think it really depends how much sun you get when you go out, you know. But it's really about, you know, the main treatment for most people because they can't get out is light therapy, which is delivered in two forms, either light boxes or dawn stimulations. Light boxes can be thought of as a replacement for the sun because the sun is missing for part of the morning in fall and winter. The light box should be used during the morning to replace the absent sunlight. This during the afternoon or evening or night is ineffective in most cases. So in most cases, you need 30 to 60 minutes to get this. Unlike medications, the light box typically exhibits rapid effect, usually within 1 to 2 weeks. If no benefit is achieved after a few weeks, the light therapy can be stopped. Patients should be instructed to treat the light box much as they would the sun. In particular, they should not look directly into it. Mm-hmm. Rather, they should put, and again, when you're going out to get some sun in the morning, don't look directly into the sun. We don't want you blinded out there. Rather, they should put on the table while eating or reading and receiving its light in an indirect fashion. Looking directly into the light box is like looking directly into the sun. It's harmful to the eyes and it is done on a chronic basis. Okay. So again, light therapy is also an incredibly effective thing. Not very expensive. They have really good ones I've seen everywhere from Costco.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, online at Amazon. You know, again, you could set it. They've got it with timers. So even when you're laying there in bed, waking up, the light could go on as your alarm clock.
Kind of to
wake the
morning.
And
that's a really gentle way to wake up, too.
Absolutely.
Just some nice light coming in.
So, yeah. Okay, so keep going.
Yeah, well, basically, I did mention earlier, getting that light into your eyes, not necessarily looking up into the sun, into the sunlight, but having your eyes open, you're outside, getting that light into your eyes. What about vitamin D? I mean, does that have any type of effect?
Absolutely.
Okay.
D3 is essential because, again, you're not getting it naturally through the sun.
Okay.
So it's really good to do that. Since I'm not prescribing for everybody here,
right?
Just talk to your physician, look online, talk to a really good nutritionist. There's a lot of places to get that. If you have any questions, just contact me, email me, scott@ardentcenter.com, S-C-O-T-T at A-R-D-E-N-T-C-E-N-T-E-R.com, scott@ardentcenter.com, and I could simply give you that more specifically and who to contact and what's a good source. But, you know, it's, again, don't think that taking, there's been lots of studies comparing light therapy, for instance, to basically Prozac, fluoxetine.
Wow.
And, you know, light therapy was far more effective than, you know, than Prozac or another SSRI, and much better than a placebo, which, again, so it's really good to kind of get what it is.
What about those who already have depression? Maybe they're bipolar or they have suffer from other types of depression. Are they more prone to developing a disorder like SAD?
I don't think necessarily you're more prone to it, but you are, you know, if you have the double whammy,
yes,
you have to treat the double whammy.
Wow.
So, for instance, if I'm normally depressed and I have a seasonal affective disorder, again, I'm more prone to then even going down further. One triggers the other.
Wow.
For example, another example is sleep disorders impact every other condition you possibly have. So let's say you have a simple attention deficit disorder or ADHD, or some people want to refer to it as only ADD, but that's all another controversy.
Okay.
But, you know, even having that condition, having a seasonal affective disorder will make that condition exponentially worse because, again, having sleep, lack of sleep will trigger everything else. So if I'm not sleeping or I'm oversleeping, et cetera, I'm hibernating in this case, if I'm sleeping more than 10 hours a night, I've got a real problem. Again, the ideal thing for 99% if, is people is that you need between 7.5 and 9 hours a night.
And I have to say something on that. I would say in this United States, in these United States of America, in this rat race, in most places, I mean, that's almost like how in the world some adults are not getting anywhere near 9 hours of sleep.
Well, especially you've got a couple kids and they're up running around.
Exactly,
and, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be really difficult to do that. Do you have any advice? Should people try to take a nap during the day?
No.
What's
I mean, if you're doing something like a real meditation, and the meditation I've been suggesting to everybody is transcendental meditation. If you're in Fairfield, you know that. Not for any, I won't go into all the reasons, but biochemically, it's the one that will have the greatest neurochemistry effect. And that's been shown over and over again. But clinically, I could say, having dealt with the most difficult clients on the planet, it's real. You know, you could sit there and debate cosmic influences and all that kind of stuff. But I can tell you as a clinician who's dealt with the most difficult cases you could ever imagine or have ever seen, I have seen an incredible effectiveness. And again, that could help get the sleep cycle in order,
Which
again, but you got to think of this as a package. You don't just meditate and go away. you meditate, you exercise, you have the proper nutrition, in this case, needing D3 and other, again, don't over-sugar, over-carb, because then you're jacking your system up.
Yes.
You do too much caffeine, you can't sleep at night.
Wow.
And again, like, okay, so I'm having trouble waking up, so I'm going to do too much caffeine, which is has a half-life, and it'll stay in your system quite a while, and it'll make it hard to go to sleep at night. So again, one thing impacts another.
You're preaching to me now.
I know.
I'm a coffee fanatic.
So again, think of it as a large package that I want to address the whole spectrum of what's going on.
Wow.
Because that's what, again, gives me my power and control back over my life again. And that's where I need to go with this. Think of it as, I'm going to take this bull by the horns. I'm going to stop being in denial about whatever is going on and go, all right, how do I address this?
Wow.
So,
I think all of this, and I guess after you've done all of those things, if you're still having symptoms, do you suggest that people meet with their healthcare provider, or how should they address this first? Tell us what to do.
Well, again, look at it as a package for the biological stuff. Now, that doesn't mean that you might not need to see a therapist, a counselor,
mm-hmm.
who's doing some basic cognitive behavioral therapies,
okay.
or other kinds of very, actually it's more behavioral than even cognitive behavioral, because you understand what's going on, takes 2 seconds. Now it's really about, you almost need more of a coach than a therapist,
mm-hmm.
to sit there and go, okay, what do I do? And, okay, I lost again this morning. How do I get back on the bicycle after falling
on
the horse after falling off, right?
Right.
Okay, and, I lost again. It triggered my ADD, and so now I spaced out, and now I stayed up too late, and now I had this, right? How do I get a program, a structure, so I get up at the same time, I go to sleep at the same time every single night. I get the circadian rhythm, mm-hmm. so it actually works for me.
Definitely.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the circadian rhythm, again, light and dark, is what's essential to this whole package. So anyways, we only got a couple minutes left. So Nicole, what else do you want to say?
Well, first of all, I really liked in reading Dr. Norman Rosenthal's
Dr. Rosenthal is the master.
Yes.
He's written, he just wrote a new book called Supermind, by the way. Highly recommend to everybody. The man is brilliant. He interviewed me for his book called Transcendence.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
And so there's a story about me being a kid in there, but
I gotta check that out.
Yeah, Dr. Rosenthal, absolutely brilliant, brilliant scientist. And he's the guy who created SAD.
Yes.
I mean, he's the master here.
Wow. I really liked
some
of
the things.
And he
did his old book called Winter Blues, by the way.
Yeah, and I think that's what I was reading on his site about Winter Blues. It was kind of like a website that was, he was giving a talk more so about SAD and Winter Blues. One of the things that I really liked, and I think all of you will appreciate this, he said one way to combat SAD is taking little mini vacations to sunny places.
Ooh, yeah.
And so immediately my mind began to churn. Uh-huh. And I thought, wow, that's a really great excuse. Hey, I'm dealing with SAD and I need to quickly get to the Bahamas.
Well, there you go. I like that idea. So anything else? Any other quick last words of advice?
First of all, I really enjoyed this interview with you today. It was absolutely wonderful. I tell everybody to go ahead and check out last week's ledger, Friday's ledger.
Date? Well, no, because this is airing weeks from now. So what's the date?
Oh, the date. Let's see. That would be, what was that? What's today's date? Gosh, I'm so bad.
Today is December 4th.
December 4th.
We're recording this on December 4th.
The 2nd then. So,
okay.
So check out December 2nd's ledger. You can stop by the ledger and just ask for the health tab. And go ahead and see that entire interview with Dr. Scott Terry. Thanks so much, Scott. I appreciate
being
on
the show. Thank you. And Nicole, will you please come back again? You
were
awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.